I'm going to begin by reading 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. I invite you to follow along, either in your Bible or on the wall, however you wish to do so, as I read God's Word. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. God is light. John tells us, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. This one who is light, John tells us, is the one whom we studied about last week, who was revealed. He was revealed. He revealed Himself as light. And this one, the Word that we looked at last week, this one who is the Word of life is also light. And He revealed Himself among us as perfect purity, absolute, morally perfect, completely truth, because He is truth, and fully righteous. This one who is light is the one with whom we can, as we looked at last week, and should have fellowship with. We should have communion with. We should be connected with this one. He has given us that privilege. He has given us that opportunity that we do not deserve, and yet by His grace and mercy, He offers us the opportunity to connect with Him, to have true fellowship with Him who is perfect. Now, if that doesn't stagger your mind cannot be staggered. You'll never understand it, I don't believe. Well, maybe when we get into His presence, we will. But this side of heaven, we will not fully understand that. But think about that for a second. The one who's absolutely perfect in all ways, in every way, would allow very much imperfect people, the likes of you and me, to have true fellowship with Him. As we are walking in fellowship with Him, with the light, it will lead, I believe, to moral purity in our life, truthfulness, righteous living, living right according to His standard, through His Word. And when we are not walking in fellowship with God, I'll just say this, these traits will not be characteristic of our lives. When we're walking in fellowship with God, to a greater degree, an increasingly greater degree, these characteristics should be our life. But when we're not walking in life, they will not be Why? Because we're walking according to our own flesh, and therefore we're carrying out the desires of the flesh. My question for you is, where are you walking? Where are you walking? I'm not talking about the Pinellas Trail. Where are you walking? Thought it would be good for us to look at 1 John 1 and verses 5 through 10, where we will examine some facts concerning one who walks in fellowship with God. And I hope you will be able to identify today before you leave whether or not you really are, according to God's Word, walking in fellowship with this God. The first fact to help us understand that, I believe, is that one who walks in fellowship with God, he understands the effects of sin. Verses 6 and 7. He understands the effects of sin. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice His truth. You understand the effects of sin. What's sin? Sin is missing the mark of God. It's not committing something. It's sometimes omitting something. It is falling short of what God has set for us, whether it be in thought, attitude, or even action. It's indifferent from the will of God, then it's sin. Therefore, he says, the effects of sin is that we are walking in darkness. We're walking in darkness, verse 6 tells us. Do you know that there were those, and I believe there are still those alive today, who claim that they have fellowship with God, and yet they walk around in darkness? Does that surprise you? Unfortunately, it can be the case here. And I'm sure that's happened a lot more than I would like to admit at Northwood. People have claimed to have fellowship with God and yet continue to walk around in darkness. He's talking here about the habitual act, the way of life, the continually walking in darkness. He says they lie. Deliberately, knowingly, contradicting the truth by one's word. By one's words, they contradict the truth. They say something, and yet they don't live it. They say something, and it's not true. Therefore, it's a lie. And it's sin. They do not, he says, practice the truth. Their lives are not lived out according to the truth. So they're walking in darkness, not walking in the light, but walking in darkness. I thought about that this week. Walking in darkness. There is and will continue to be a whole lot of contrast, at least for me, between walking in the light and walking in darkness. And I can say that my dear brother Ron over here, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference, okay? It does to me. If the room is lit up, I can skip along and I can move along, and especially if there are obstacles in the room, I can move along, and I'm still able to stay on my feet pretty well, a little clumsy at times, but no big issues walking through it. You make that room dark, and you can have the room wide open, such as back here. Rory and I were discussing it this week. You still find yourself just kind of very careful. It's not the same walk. Man, I can just strut right along. But you get it dark, and it affects how I walk through that room. There's a lot of difference. There's a huge contrast between walking in the light and walking in darkness. The effects of sin is that we walk, spiritually speaking, in darkness. But also, as you read verse 6, as you go on to verse 7, we also understand the effects of sin. It's not just walking in darkness, but it is, the result is broken fellowship. Broken fellowship. If we walk in the light, verse 7, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What did we discuss last week? John let us know that in order to have fellowship with one another, you have to have fellowship with God first. Our fellowship with one another is an outgrowth of our fellowship, first of all, with God. And so He's saying there's broken fellowship. With whom? With God and with one another. Yes. The effects of sin, it affects our relationship with God, our fellowship with God, but also our ability to have fellowship with one another. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, then we can't be walking in darkness and in sin. Because sin is always a barrier and a hindrance to fellowship with God, as well as fellowship with one another. If we are walking in the light, He says, we have fellowship with Him. As we walk in the light, we have fellowship with Him. And think about it for a second. What does the light do? The light dispels the darkness and exposes. And as God's light shines in and we walk in that light, we see our sin. And we talk about it more later, but we deal with that sin. We don't habitually continue to walk in darkness because we see as His light shines in and reveals what needs to be dealt with. We have fellowship with Him if we walk in the light, but also we have fellowship with one another. What He's saying, there is broken fellowship between man and God when there's sin present. Sin that's unconfessed and not dealt with. There's broken fellowship between man and God, but also there's broken fellowship between man and man. Think about that for a second. It's pretty easy when you start dealing with people who aren't getting along, especially people who profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him, having a relationship with God. Think about that for a second. If two people are indwelt by the same God, indwelt by His Spirit, doesn't it make a lot of sense that God's Spirit's not going to be at war with God's Spirit? I mean, I'm one of those simple guys. Most of you know that by now. I try not to get over here too high because I can't understand it. But I can understand it when it's down here on the bottom shelf a little closer to what I can grasp. And that is, God's Spirit will not war with God's Spirit. Therefore, if I am in fellowship with this God and you're in fellowship with this God, guess what? We may disagree on some things. That doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything. You know, you have a right to be wrong if you disagree with me. Right, I understand. You know I'm jesting. But the point is, we're going to get along. Because the Spirit of God is in control. We're having fellowship with God, therefore we're going to have fellowship with one another. Once again, not that we agree on everything, but we may agree to disagree on the things that don't matter. The beauty of the free church, for one thing. I've heard countless people say, I love it. Because you don't squabble over the minors. You major in the majors and minor in the minors. One of the things that attracted me to this group of people about 30 years ago. God's Spirit will commune with God's Spirit. Two people who are in fellowship with God will have fellowship with one another. And that goes even not just to man and man and man and woman, but relationships, marriages, whatever. That's one of the first things you find out when two people who claim to be Christians are married or struggling. At least one of the two is not yielding to God's Spirit. I'll just tell you that. I know that to be a fact. And no one could prove me wrong. And many times, it's likely because maybe both aren't consistently yielding to God's Spirit. And in case I didn't get this point across, you never will 100% of the time yield, okay? You won't be in fellowship with God. We're going to talk about that more 100% of the time, all the time. But we're talking about consistently yielding to God to control your life as you connect with Him and as you fellowship with Him. Sin does not break off the relationship with God, but sin will break the fellowship, the communion with God. Keep that in mind. Not only does the one who walks in fellowship with God understands the effects of sin, he also, verses 8 and also verse 10, tells us that he acknowledges the presence of sin. He acknowledges the presence of sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. For a second, in his nature is what he's talking about here. He acknowledges the presence of sin in his very nature. We are born sinners. Okay? We're born with a sin nature. You want to thank Adam and Eve for that? Go ahead. You didn't, but then we are going to talk about it. Well, then we choose to sin, okay? We do choose to sin, but we are born with a sin nature. Some claim to have no sin. And there are people today, well, okay, they're nuts, but there are people that kind of think that today. Romans 5:12 tells us that by one man sin entered the human race. No getting away from it. No getting out of it. You didn't choose your parents. Hopefully they chose to conceive you, but the point is, you didn't choose the sin nature, you were born with it. But you're not excused, okay? If we say we have no sin within us, that we don't even have that propensity to sin and that natural inclination to do so, we deceive ourselves. We inwardly deceive ourselves and we make all kind of rationalizations. One, to deny that they sin. I just say this, and someone else told me this before, it's not original to me. That's like cheating at solitaire. Think about that for a second. He goes on to say they're void of the truth. They are void of the truth. They deceive themselves and they're void of the truth. If the truth dwells in us, folks, if the truth dwells in us, then we are going to be aware of our sin as the light reveals it. Let me ask you for a second. Do children, as they're born and as they become toddlers, do they have to be taught to sin? And if you answer that yes, then you're a nut. That's all I got to tell you. You've never been around a child before. I've raised three, and guess what? Every single one of them were born with a sin nature. Not only does he acknowledge sin in his nature, but also in his living. Look at verse 10. The one who's walking in fellowship with God acknowledges sin in his daily living. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. There are some at this time in the writing of John, he was writing against that somewhat. Those who said they were enlightened by God, therefore once they were enlightened by God, they were incapable of sinful behavior. Now can you think about that for a second? There are those who preach and teach today that once you become a Christian, then you are sinless. I know, I saw a bunch of looks like, you've got to be kidding me. Well, there were people then, there are still people today, may not be as prevalent. But John was writing to acknowledge the fact that they were wrong because everyone has a sin nature and everyone chooses to sin in his daily life. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Committed sin in our daily lives. Made the choice to do something in thought, attitude, or action, and maybe all of the above, that was against and contrary to the will of God. And I would say multiple times, okay? I'm not talking about once. Multiple times. And unfortunately, multiple times in a day. In some cases, maybe multiple times in an hour. Should I get to the minutes? You know, I have an answer for anyone who tells me they do not commit sin. I don't talk to them anymore. I call their spouse. That's all I got to do. I call their children. I call their parents. Whoever it might be. I call someone into family. And I find out very quickly that they were deceiving themselves. They were lying. They were rationalizing. It's not just a weakness. It's an act that we commit against a holy God. By choice. Yes, we have a sin nature. But I think you've been around long enough, at least most of you, to understand that we have a way around that sin nature provided by the blood of Jesus. So therefore, sin is a choice. Since sin is the problem, and I believe it is, and John believes it is, and John wrote under the inspiration of God's Spirit, therefore, we must deal with it. And therein lies the problem. Dealing with sin is the problem today. The one who walks in fellowship with God, he experiences forgiveness of sin. He understands there is a way to deal with this sin problem, and he experiences forgiveness of sin. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sin, verse 9, our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He experiences, first of all, forgiveness of sin through confession of sins. What does that mean? You stand before a priest or sit in another room beside him. Do you stand? No, you stand before a holy God. And you admit to him. You admit, you acknowledge that you have chosen to go contrary to his will and to commit sin. Simply put, to say the same thing as, to agree with. You're agreeing with God and admitting to God that what you have done and what all too often we continue to do is sinful. It is sin and it is not pleasing in his eyes. Therefore, we're admitting that we are wrong, that we have, not only are we admitting that we're sinners by nature, but we're sinners by practice. We've chosen to do so. He's talking here about a particular confession, not just a general. I know people say, oh, God, forgive me if I have sinned. You know what? I'd love to. If, come on. How ridiculous. Not if, because I have sinned. And I think it's very cool. And I think it's also good to acknowledge specifically. And that's why the secret here is when do you confess sin? As immediately as you can after you realize that God reveals to you that it's sin. And you know what? The time between God revealing it to our hearts and our minds and the time we actually confess and deal with it is way too long, all too often. And you know what happens? That whole time, We're out of fellowship with God. And it just continues to snowball. We growl and we grump at the next person. We show our ugliness at work to our wife and do all kind of damage that we never had to do if we would only deal with the sin when we commit it. Be better not to sin, okay? But I'm telling you that you're not going to be sinless. Don't expect it today. Don't expect it tomorrow. But deal with it. Psalm 32. We glean, I believe, a little bit of insight and help and encouragement in how to deal with sin from David in Psalm 32. Verses 1 through 5. David says this: "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you. In my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Specifically dealing with sin before God and experiencing His forgiveness. Psalm 28:13 says, "He who confesses and forsakes his sin will find compassion." What does he do? He confesses and forsakes. I believe implied within 1 John 1:9 in that confession is not just bopping along saying, "Okay, God, I sinned." I believe it's an admission with an intent to turn away from. You could say repent, whatever you want to call it. It's a willingness to turn away from sin and to trust God for the power to resist it the next time. Because only He can give us the power to do it, by the way. It's saying that I blew it again, God. And I know it grieves your heart and I'm turning away from that sin, admitting that's wrong, and I'm willing today to turn away from that sin and to trust you once again to empower me by your Spirit as I fellowship and commune with you. Admitting we missed a mark of being the proper father or the proper mother can be included in this. Admitting that we missed a mark of being the proper husband or wife in God's eyes is part of this, as well as all those adultery, murder. I don't know if you've done that lately, but that's included as well. But we tend to think of the more sensational things, right? No, it's the indifference from the will of God as we turn to ourselves and carry out the desires of the flesh, whether it be in thought or action. We confess it. Whether it's lust, whether it's lying, whether it's hating, or whether it's greed or idolatry, putting something else ahead of God. He is there to forgive us as we confess our sin. But he goes on to say that not only do we experience forgiveness of sin through confession of sins, but also we are cleansed from every hindrance to fellowship. God, who is faithful, will cleanse us from every hindrance to fellowship. First of all, with Him, remember, and then fellowship with one another. He is faithful because He has promised. He is just. He is righteous. He will never break His word. He is just, and His justice is carried out through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ for our sin. He paid the penalty. and therefore we can be forgiven. He gave His life in our place. Therefore, He's promised to forgive us, and He will. He's not only promised to forgive, but He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? He will wash away the very stain of sin. You can remove something and clean it up, and the stain can be there. God will remove the very stain. David in Psalm 51:10, confessing his sin once again. Adultery and murder are pretty big, okay? I don't care what it is. Sin is sin in God's eyes. But as he was confessing his sin, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David was out of fellowship with God. David grieved over his sin, and he wanted to restore that fellowship with his God. And so he was convicted of his sin. He confessed his sin. He turned from his sin, and he trusted in his forgiving God to give him forgiveness and a clean heart. A man after the heart of God, and God continued to use him. Cleansed and forgiven of all our sin. Cleansed and forgiven of anything that will hinder our fellowship with God. What a God. What a God to allow us to know Him first of all, to have the assurance of our salvation, but to tolerate, you say tolerate, to allow us to sin and still come back to Him and have that fellowship restored once we grieve His heart? Has a child ever broken your heart? Has a spouse ever broken your heart? We have a hard time forgiving, don't we? God doesn't. He's a God of forgiveness because He's faithful and righteous to forgive. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole and restored to fellowship with God again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Where are you walking? Are you walking in fellowship with God? Consistently walking in fellowship with God. Do you know where you walk determines how you walk? I told you before, when I walk in a dark room, I walk one way. When I walk in a room that's full of light, I skip and move right along and glide through it. Spiritually speaking, it affects the way we walk as to whether or not we're walking in fellowship with our God, in purity, in truth, and in righteousness. Keep in mind, sin hinders, sin affects, sin is a barrier to our fellowship with this God who loves us enough that He was willing to become man, to suffer upon a cross for us. And if we desire to have fellowship with Him, we will understand our sin and the effects of it. And we will acknowledge it before God. And we will turn away from it. Consistently turn away from it. And be restored to right fellowship with this Father who loves us. And walk in fellowship with Him. As we walk in the light, He will reveal sin. And what I say to you is when God reveals it, confess it. Admit. Don't try to get out of it. You're caught, okay? Isn't that interesting? We think we can hide sin from God. What about people who do these things publicly? You know, nationally, internationally. I didn't do that. Knowing the whole time, if they got a brain in their head, if they believe there is a God, that He knows all along. And we think we're going to fool Him. We can fool one another, but we can't fool God. And all I got to say is what we hide from God or what we hide from other people, it will come to light. It's better to deal with it now and to be in fellowship with God. It's better to deal with it when it happens so that we might go through the day in fellowship with our God. Are you walking in the light? Are you walking in fellowship with God? Whatever your status is today, good news. Confess it to Him. He will forgive you. And you'll have the joy of being able to experience what we sing about. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. There's no joy when we're walking out of fellowship with God. Trust me, I've done it enough over the last 39 years that I've been a believer, and it's no fun. But the joy of the Lord through close fellowship with Him, there's nothing like it.